Good day, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Beyond Sermons, where we share Christ beyond the pulpit. If you want to support this podcast, please rate and subscribe. Now, today we're going to talk about the prison system. Prison is a designated residence for people who were not deemed fit for society. That's a really harsh reality for many people. But did you know that Jesus, along with many of his disciples, experienced imprisonment? Paul even wrote some of the New Testament from prison. So with that being said, have you ever been arrested or incarcerated? Perhaps you know someone who is serving a prison sentence. Prison is obviously difficult for the incarcerated, but how does it impact their friends and families? I want to share with you a nonprofit organization called LOOP. It stands for Loved Ones of Prisoners. Now joining us from LOOP is one of the directors, Jenny Eversall. Well, hello, Jenny. How are you doing today?
Great.
Welcome to this episode. You know, I've been looking forward to this podcast for quite a while. You know, as a person who's done prison ministry in the past, it's been a while for me. It's great to meet up with someone else who has some empathy, not only for Jesus Christ, but also for those who are dealing with incarceration. So you're the director of LOOP. What is LOOP?
LOOP stands for Loved Ones of Prisoners. And when we had a crisis in our family and one of our loved ones went to prison, we had to figure out how to deal with this. And, you know, we just prayed and asked God, you know, how can we make lemonade out of this lemon? Mm. And my daughter got online and found this ministry. And we found out that there's a lot of ministries that are for prison, but there wasn't anything for families.
Wow.
So we started this ministry for families, and it spills over into the prisons and to the incarcerated, because everybody in LOOP has a loved one in prison.
Right.
So the program... we started with a few people, and we started mailing every month their loved one some sort of encouraging. It might be Joel Osteen. It might be a sermon series, anything like that. And then we expanded it to now the prisoners get birthday cards, Christmas cards, Easter cards, Thanksgiving cards.
Wow.
And so they get a mailing every month. If there's not a holiday, then they get just something else encouraging.
Wow.
And it started off with the loved ones of the people that were in LOOP. And then we would get letters from prisoners that says, my friend never got a letter before. Can you put him on the list?
Yeah.
And then we get letters that's the first birthday card I've ever had in my life.
Yeah. Wow.
And so we now have a mailing list of 155.
Oh, that's great. Now, they're all male, or are there some females as well, too?
Oh, we have females as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter if you have a loved one that's female or male. We have the same list that they put them on, and we have volunteers. I used to do it myself, and now we have volunteers that do that.
That's awesome. Yeah. It's great to hear that this ministry is growing. Now, how long has this ministry been around?
Well, it started in 2011 up north in Akron, Ohio. Mm-hmm. And the lady, Linda and Ed Davis, started it because their son went to prison.
Right.
And they had nobody to turn to.
Right.
So they started that, and then we found them, and then they came to us and asked us to start in Ohio. Mm. So we originally started in Ohio, hope to soon start one in Florida.
Right. Now the thing is, maybe a lot of the services, which we'll talk about a little bit later on, is geared towards maybe the state level, perhaps, but it seems like there's availability for people from anywhere who's dealing with the same situation of having a family or a loved one in prison. It sounds like you're available to them as well, too.
Yes.
Right? It's like maybe emotional support or whatever, right?
We have a website called lovedonesofprisoners.com, And there's a place in there you can go to, and it says meetings.
Yeah.
And you can click on whereby and join our meeting. Yes. We have the first Thursday of every month, and we have people from Tennessee and Virginia and Washington State.
Yeah, and hopefully some of the listeners of this podcast. Perhaps
in Florida.
There you go.
We do have some in Florida also.
That's cool.
So we're expanding, and we're happy as God just leads people to look on the website to say, you know, what's out there for me.
Yeah, for sure. So I guess the holiday season is approaching us. You know, we have Thanksgiving, Christmas, all that. As far as like the type of cards that are being sent, obviously they're sort of encouraging. But you know what? All prisoners are not Christians. They're probably of even different faiths. I know from my time from doing prison ministry, there are a variety of different faiths that were very new to me, like five percenters or, you know, some people being God bodies and, you know, other type of maybe gang affiliated religions and so forth. Do you find that they are also receptive to Loop or, you know, like, when you're sending out these cards, are they sort of agnostic? Do they have like maybe a message of Jesus in there?
They're all scripture based.
Okay.
And if anybody doesn't want to get them,
yeah,
they just write back. But we haven't had anybody yet, and we know they go out to Muslims.
Yes. Okay.
And they're just happy to get the mail.
Yeah.
And we have one that, you know, we've been doing for 7 years, and I just said to him, at any time you don't want to get this information, all you have to do is let us know.
Yeah.
And he has never sent one. In fact, he writes to us occasionally.
That's awesome. That is definitely awesome. You know, and that's a loving message because, I mean, the message of Jesus Christ is, it is a message of love, you know, and, you know, the message of Jesus Christ is meant for all, no matter where they are. You know, and that was one of the things that I really appreciated about the this ministry in particular, you know, willing to look past the stigma and, you know, just see the precious soul that needs a savior, you know. So that's one of the things that really encouraged me to, you know, pursue this podcast episode with you. So now you mentioned 155 people maybe receive mail outs and stuff like that. Which is great. What other type of services would you say they offer to the family members as well as, you know, to some of the incarcerated?
So we have, we also minister to the reentry group when they're getting out of prison.
Mm-hmm.
Last week we just bought furniture.
Yeah.
For a girl who'd gotten out, had a job,
all right,
had an apartment, but no furniture.
Okay.
So there's a furniture bank that for $170 you can get 14 pieces of furniture.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so we availed her of that service.
Yeah.
In the prison, you are allowed to get glasses every 3 years.
Okay.
Well, if they break in between,
yeah,
you're out. So we found a place that we can buy glasses for $30 shipped to the prisoner.
All right.
And so all they have to do is send us their prescription.
Yeah.
And we send them glasses.
Right, right.
And they don't have to wait.
Now, getting glasses, that sounds like such a specific type of consideration in the prison system. Is it because people tend to use the glasses as like weapons or something of that nature?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But they, you know, just break them often and they're cheap to start with.
Yeah.
So we just made that available to one person. I found this website where they'll do lens and glasses for $30 shipped, including shipping.
Hey, gotta see, right?
Yes.
You need glasses, right? So that's cool.
And we have also, like, we had a girl that she had an apartment picked out and she was living in her car.
Mm-hmm.
And she couldn't live in her car and pay the rent and deposit. She could never get ahead that far. And so we paid her deposit. She paid her rent. And got her off the street.
That's awesome. That's really cool.
And then provided furniture for her as well.
Wow.
And then we also, in the prison system, you can call home for 75 cents. You get a 15-minute call. And for families that don't have money to do that, we also give prisoners $5 phone time with their families. On a different occasion. And so we've been able to do that. As well.
So one of the things you mentioned a few minutes ago was reentry. People, they did their time, they paid their debt to society, now it's time for them to sort of rebuild themselves. That could be difficult, as you sort of hinted at. Maybe even more difficult for some than others. Now, this is a difficult question. Now, with the reentry program, sure, get an apartment, get housing, and so forth. But suppose you they committed a sexual offense, and all of a sudden there's all these restrictions now placed upon them, sometimes even for the rest of their lives. Can you talk to us a little bit about maybe some of the challenges in helping them sort of rebuild their lives?
So we have a ministry that we're connected with as well, that's called the Exit Program. And they provide housing for sex offenders, because whether you realize it or not, when a sex offender gets out of prison, if he can't come home, he's given $65 and see ya.
That's it?
That's it. He has to find his own way. He cannot go to a shelter. And most housing will not take him. But this Exit Program, they have five different houses around Ohio that they can go to. And so that's been very helpful for that.
So, I mean, you mentioned earlier that you had a family member who's incarcerated. That had to be difficult. If you could talk to me a little bit more about some of the things that you felt as a loving family member when you first found out that, hey, you know what, this person's been arrested, this person's on trial for whatever crime that was committed. You know, how did that make you feel as a, maybe a Christian authority figure for this individual?
This is very difficult because people don't understand that you do that. If it's somebody close to you, you do every day that they do, you do the same thing. And when this happened to us, it was a total surprise because he had never been in trouble before. We didn't even know anybody that was in prison. And so we had to, and you feel so alone. That Linda Davis, who's the founder of Loop, had said, "Honey, I just want you to know you're not alone." And that was the biggest comfort that we had, because you do feel alone. And you do feel ashamed. And you do feel like, what did I do to cause this? In essence, everybody makes their own choices.
That is true.
And our grandson, in the meantime, has told us and his parents, "This was totally my decision. I made the wrong choice. There's nothing you could have done to change me from doing this." And what a freedom that brings to the parents and the grandparents. To know that we didn't do anything wrong. That it's his strong will and his decision. And since then, he's rededicated himself to the Lord.
Amen to that.
And learn, trying to live a Christian life in prison.
That's got to be so tough, because I mean, I've watched many documentaries, you know, about the prison lifestyle and the culture, especially, and you know, the alliances that are potentially forced on people. You know, it takes such a strong will, you know, to profess Jesus Christ there, or not to necessarily align yourself with someone that may not support your faith and so forth. I would imagine that every prison is different. You know, so what type of encouragement do you give to your grandson in those type of situations or in that particular prison setting?
Well, we make sure that he has money on his phone.
Yeah.
And he calls us, his grandfather and I, every single day.
That's awesome.
And his mom and dad every single day. And he speaks to his sister and brother a couple times a week at least.
Yeah.
So he's staying connected with the family.
That's great.
And that has proven to be the secret to going home and staying home.
Got you. So as far as like, you know, some people will say, you know, prison system is sort of designed to help rehabilitate people. You know, it's designed, it's supposed to, you know, you're supposed to come out a better person. You're supposed to come out remorseful. You're supposed to come out, you know, a better fit for society. You know, those are some of the ideals that are being pushed out there. You know, obviously one of the realities I'm hearing so far is, hey, it's a sin issue. Hey, Jesus needs to enter and be the healing process, but it doesn't necessarily sound that simple. It seems like there are still some challenges with the prison system itself. What were some of the challenges that you've seen with the prison system, maybe the justice system, you know, which we know is not perfect, you know?
You know, it's the justice system is very broken. Mm-hmm. And my grandson will say to me sometimes, the only way to fix it would be just to close the whole thing down and start over. Mm. Because they, it's just, it's so hard. They are making some positive changes. They have a reentry group now with a head that start 6 months before you're returning home or out to get you ready. And in Ohio, you get Medicare for 1 year. Mm-hmm. Because they found that people were getting out without any medicine.
Right.
And then they were right back in.
Right.
And so they designed that. And they're also doing lots of education things.
Right.
In the prison system, which is very helpful.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned that this was a reentry group.
Yes.
So is this a nonprofit organization?
Well, it's actually ODRC, which is Ohio Department of Recreation and Corrections, who they took the warden, one of the wardens of the year, and put her over it to address every aspect of reentry.
Yeah.
What is the problem with reentry? Why do they come back?
Yeah.
And to try to eliminate the reason to come back. Yeah. And we have lots of places now that they can get jobs. Mm-hmm. And a lot of returning citizens actually start companies where they only hire returning citizens.
Okay.
And that's been very helpful, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you get out, you've got a job, you got a place to live, that's at least a couple strikes for you. Mm-hmm. If you get out, you have no job, no money, no food. And Loop also provides a $100 gift card from Walmart for them when they get out. So they can go and buy a fresh set of clothes or maybe some groceries to get started.
Right, right. Yeah. So finding a job, you know, after reentering society can be such a difficult task. Now, you mentioned that there are some companies that basically target, you know, reentrance, let's call it that, you know, but that's far and few jobs that are available to the rest of society, right?
Well, we give them a list.
Yeah.
And there's probably 10 places on that list that they can go and get a job.
So what type of jobs would you say is probably most popular for people reentering? Not to say that they're going to be stuck there for the rest of their lives, but what would you say?
To get started, we have some food service. Mm-hmm. A couple places have started restaurants, and they can cook.
You mean they started their own business?
Yes.
Wow.
And now they
That's impressive. That's awesome.
It is awesome.
Yeah.
And cleaning companies.
Sure.
And there's some places like Tim Hortons, Pizza Hut.
Yeah.
They've taken away the restriction, and you can now go to work there.
Oh, okay. So they don't even ask if you've been ever convicted or whatever, right?
If they do ask, they don't care. It's not a restricted for getting hired.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And in Ohio, they had something called Ban the Box.
Okay.
Where it was an actual legislation that said that they have to take the box off of the application that says, are you a convicted felon?
Right.
So they took the box off as a legal part.
Yeah.
Now, they still can do a background check.
Sure.
And they're still going to know.
Sure.
But the point is, it can get your foot in the door.
Right.
And like we tell them, if that comes up, you just write there, we'll explain an interview.
Yeah.
And that at least gets you an interview.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, the city of Columbus also has a hiring special project that they will hire felons now.
Yeah.
So depending on all circumstances.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's a great job that anyone would want.
Right. So, you know, staying on the topic of prison reform, you know, you mentioned a few things. What would you say are some other type of, like, reform issues that you would like to see taking place that may not have been addressed yet?
Well, the harshness of the sentences. A lot of the sentences don't fit the crime.
Yeah, they're very subjective to how that judge feels that day. Like, hey, is he hungry?
And
tired.
And the judges have all the control.
You know what? Let me correct myself. Let me not belittle judgment that's out there. I'm sure their jobs are very difficult, and they do take them very seriously. And, you know, they're humans, too. They don't always get it right. But they do have that leverage. It would be probably more interesting to see that there's maybe more of like a menu of sentences. I don't want to put it in, belittle the whole process, but having like a menu where it's really tight, where it's well-defined, hey, you do this crime, hey, this is the time, you know?
Yeah, it's just, it's really up to the judge.
Yeah.
For one crime, you can get 7 years or 21 years.
That's the truth, because, you know, I think there are studies out there that talks about disparity in sentencing based upon whether you're male or female, or this particular race versus this particular race. You know, it's very sad to hear about those type of disparities in sentencing guidelines, you know?
There is.
Yeah. So, this is also a personal situation, as you mentioned at the very beginning. You have a grandson who's currently incarcerated. He's given his life to Christ. That's, you know, one good chat box right there. You know, and so forth. As far as his situation, how would a prison reform helped him be a better person?
Actually, I give the credit to the fact that he turned his life over to the Lord, and then God placed him under a man, a case manager.
Yeah.
Like he had never had.
Right.
For the 5 years before.
Yeah.
And he is just an amazing man. And because his sentence was 21 years, he didn't qualify for any programs.
Right.
And when he got this new case manager, he's put him in every program there was. And now he's facilitating college classes because of this one case manager.
Okay.
But for that one, there's 30 more that just are there to do the paperwork and push it around.
Right. So he was blessed with a good case manager.
Saw his potential.
Yeah, saw his potential, and, you know, was able to help him maybe start taking classes and so forth and really just start building and training himself. I mean, you know, what are some of the aspirations that your grandson have at this moment? And how does that sort of line up with the Luke principle, if I may say?
Well, he's due to start college in February. He'll be going to Wilmington University in Ohio. They got a Pell Grant.
Okay.
And they're allowing students from, they take 12 students from within and 12 students from without, and they put them together in a college setting in the prison. And they actually can get a degree from that.
Right.
And a lot of people say, well, that's not fair because I had to pay for my kid's college. Why is he getting to go free? Well, because you're now paying $60,000 a year for them to be housed. And that's what it costs a year to house one prisoner.
Yeah. Yeah.
So why not spend a couple thousand on tuition, get them an education, a new start, so they don't come back?
Yeah, the whole economics of it, yeah. I mean, you have people on the right side and on the left side. They have their perspectives on the whole prison system, you know. And so where Dustin is staying, that's your grandson's name, correct? And I feel at liberty to say his name because he's done other podcast episodes before, so his story is not necessarily fully private. But we're not going to necessarily go into too many details about Dustin at this point in time. We're going to keep it about Luke. So when it comes to these various programs that are out there, you know, the college help and the college assistance, I'm not, is that a Luke program?
No, or? It isn't at all.
Okay.
It's strictly state of Ohio.
Okay, so it's state of Ohio. Okay, got it. Now, the prison that he's in at this point in time, is that you said that's a state prison or is that a private prison?
No, it's state.
Do you know? Do you help people in private prisons?
If yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
There's no lines drawn.
Sure.
Federal, we have some that are in federal prison.
Yeah.
And most are in state.
Gotcha.
But we do minister to the ones in federal prison as well.
Yeah. Now, as far as the ministry approach, is it different for state versus different for federal? Are there different guidelines that you need to be cognizant of?
Well, the mailings, they the state, the federal ones, there's no glitter and there's no cards.
Okay.
So we have to copy the cards and just send a piece of paper.
Gotcha.
That the card, with the card on it.
Yeah. Wow. And then a lot of people are in prison serving a variety of different sentences. Some are short term, less than a year. Some potentially
life.
The rest of their lives.
We have a few lifers.
Yeah. What's that dynamic like?
It's really, it's a way, how do you bring hope to a lifer? I mean, that our job is to bring hope.
Yeah.
Bring hope to the families. Mm-hmm. And then in turn, bring hope to the inmates.
Yeah.
But it's really, it's hard. So we just try to make their life as pleasant as possible.
Yeah.
And most lifers don't have anybody left.
Sure.
They burned the bridges and they're alone.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I mean, I don't know about Ohio, but I think Florida does. They still have the death penalty down here, right?
Yes.
Florida?
Yes.
What about in Ohio?
Yes, they do.
So, I mean, any death penalty correspondence?
We haven't had any.
Okay, yeah.
Because it takes, 10 or 15 years to get to that point.
Yeah, yeah. It's a very drawn out process. I mean, just the thought of the death penalty is, you know, it's not an exciting topic. I know you have some people who are going to quote Old Testament scripture, an eye for an eye, you know, and so forth. But then you have the New Testament, you know, it's about grace, you know. What greater love than to lay down your life for another, you know. So it's a very, very, very difficult topic. But it sounds like it's not something that, you know, Luke has ventured into yet, but you're open to their requests for help, obviously.
Well, and when we first got started, we had a fundraiser.
Yeah.
And we had a silent auction.
Yeah.
But it was a little bit different. It was not the, you didn't bid on each item. Mm-hmm. Everybody bought tickets, and you, if you wanted something, you put your name on the tickets. The tickets were $1, so everybody could contribute and everybody could win.
Okay.
And we had a guest speaker who had, was a minister on death row.
Yeah.
And he talked about the, you know, what goes on in death row. And
right.
One of his people that he had ministered to for quite a year, long time, and he fought desperately.
Yeah.
For 21 years.
Wow.
To get his sent, the death penalty off. And he was actually put to sleep.
Oh, boy.
And so it's a toughie.
Yeah, it really is. It really is definitely a toughie. You know, just to hear about, you know, how society deals with crime and punishment. It's just not an easy topic. I don't know how lawyers and judges, you know, they sleep at night. Who knows? Maybe they don't sleep well. Maybe they're souped up on medications just so they can, quote unquote, do their job and do their duty to mankind, you know? So it's definitely a very difficult topic.
This recording was a lot longer than anticipated, and that's a good thing. Stay tuned for the next episode where Jenny will share more insight into Loop and the prison system. In conclusion, having a loved one in prison is a trying period for the inmate and their loved ones. But there is hope and help available. Please do not feel alone in your situation. Please visit lovedonesofprisoners.com for helpful resources. Jenny Eversole is the main contact for the ministry as well as a nonprofit organization, and can be reached at Jenny, that's J-E-N-N-Y, at lovedonesofprisoners.com. That's Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, at lovedonesofprisoners.com. This wraps up another episode of Beyond Sermons, where we share Christ outside the pulpit. If you want to support this podcast, please rate and subscribe. God bless, and talk to you later.